Welcome to Victory Bible Time, sponsored by Victory Baptist Church of Codin, Alabama. Victory Bible Time appreciates your listening to the broadcast each time and pray it is a blessing to you. And stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast for the address. The speaker is Brother Robert Reed, pastor of Victory Baptist Church. And now, Brother Reed.
Well, greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're glad to have you with us today, and we do hope that the radio broadcast is a blessing to all. Now, our text today is going to be in Matthew chapter 22, and I want to read in Matthew 22 from verse 41 through verse 46. We're going to title the message today, The Biblical Jesus. And we find here in this passage, reading from verse 41, this is what the Bible says. This is God's holy word. And it says, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And they say unto him, the son of David. He said unto them, how then doeth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Well, Heavenly Father, we do ask today thy blessings, thy anointing upon the reading of Holy Scripture. And Father, we pray today for that soul that's nearest hell, that they'd come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we also pray for the saints today that they would be edified in the faith. All right, before we get in to the actual message here today, I want to make mention to you some resources that are available. You can find us at biblicaltruth.info. That is biblicaltruth.info, I-N-F-O. You can also find us at sermonaudio.com. If you go to sermonaudio.com, you would need to go to the sidebar and scan down it, find the speakers, which has to do with the ministers, and type in my name, Robert Reed, and that will carry you to our home page. If you go to biblicaltruth.info, you'll automatically be on our website. Either one of these websites are good, and you can find us there. The reason I give you both of these websites is this, is that we have many resources that are available to you free of charge. We have hundreds of sermons and articles that are available on these two websites. We have many transcripts also that are now available with some of the sermons. And simply an article is a printed sermon, and the transcript is pretty much a word for word of the sermons that we preach. So I hope that you'll take advantage of those resources. Now let us come back to our text here in Matthew chapter 22, verse 41 through verse 46. Now again, I titled this message, The Biblical Jesus. Now, I believe it's important that we understand who that Jesus Christ is. There's a lot of opinions and a lot of ideals among different sects and groups, religious groups and so forth, about the nature and character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, while we preach here on radio, this is just a short time that we have together. In our church, we have dealt with this subject many, many times over the years. So we have many sermons on our website on this particular subject. They're given different titles, but they deal with the biblical Jesus. Now, that's the title of our message here today, The Biblical Jesus. To give you an example, here are just a few of the sermons that I have preached over the years, and again, I say just a very few, that are on our website. We have a sermon in 2017, titled The Jesus of the Bible. Also, Christ the Judge. The humanity of Christ and the humiliation of Christ. We have messages, the deity of Christ, the preeminence of Christ, his birth, the birth of Christ, the virgin birth, Christ incarnation that was done in 2008. We have one title, the eternal sonship of Christ. Again, we also have one title, the deity of Christ, and the King James Bible. And once you listen to that, you'll understand why we gave it that title. We have one title, the mind of Christ. The again, I mentioned the humanity, the seven sayings of Christ. One title, Christ came in the flesh. We also have, as here in Matthew 22, the question that the Lord Jesus asked the Pharisees and scribes, what think ye of Christ? We have an entire message on this, and the sermons that are preached in our church are full-length sermons. They're about twice as long as the radio message. We also have one titled, The Offices of Christ, one title, Jesus the I Am, the Messiah, God manifest in flesh, the impeccability of Christ, one titled out of Hebrews, Christ is better, the doctrine of Christ, the beloved Son, and again, those are just a few. Over the many years, every year, we're preaching some type of message on this particular subject. Now, why do we do that? Because it is very important, and it determines whether or not that Jesus Christ was able to give the ultimate sacrifice for our sins, as in Hebrews 10, verses 10, 11, and 12. In other words, what we think of Christ determines a lot as to where we stand in the presence of God. Now, notice with me, coming back to our text, the Pharisees, the scribes, and the lawyers were always challenging the Lord Jesus Christ, his words, his claims, in the first century. We find that in verse 34, we see the Pharisees and the scribes. We find in verse 33, a lawyer. We find in our text we just read, the Pharisees again. Verse 41. When the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He said unto them, how then doeth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. David, in Psalms 110, verse 1, that's where this is quoted from. In Psalms 110, verse 1, we find that David, the writer of that psalm, David called his son his Lord. Now, how this comes about is obviously through the virgin birth and the other truth that we find in Scripture. But we find that in the book of Romans, chapter 1, I'm going to read the first four verses. And it says, Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, whereby he hath promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now listen carefully. It says, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. We find that in the flesh, as far as the physical body, Jesus Christ was, He was a son of David. But we also find that through the virgin birth, that He was God manifest in the flesh. And that's exactly what 1 Timothy chapter 3 tells us, among many other verses. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, it says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. This verse says that this mystery of godliness that is without controversy, in other words, it cannot be disputed, even though it is by the Pharisees and scribes, even the Pharisees and scribes of our day, but he says that this mystery of godliness is that God was manifest in the flesh. And we find that these verses, there's six articles or six statements that are made here that brings you from the incarnation of Jesus Christ unto His glorification, that is, from His birth unto His ascension. And so what we're looking at briefly here today, and again, we preach many sermons, but we're looking briefly at the fact of the biblical Jesus. The biblical Jesus was that He was God manifest in the flesh. And that's exactly what we find in the book of John in chapter 1 and in verse 1 and in verse 14. We find in that text, in John 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, I'm reading from the King James Bible. Some versions change this and distort it. Listen again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we find that in verse 3, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And then it says in verse 14, this word that's mentioned in verse 1, the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In other words, we believe in the Holy Trinity. Jesus Christ is the second person of the Holy Trinity. And then we find that the Word created all things. The Word was in the beginning. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And then in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Then in verse 18, it says, and no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. So as we look at Matthew 22, and the Pharisees, the scribes, and the lawyers were always challenging Him, and challenging His words and His claims. In other words, they believed that the Messiah would be of the son of David, because that was prophesied in the Old Testament scripture. But when Jesus Christ came and He claimed to be God in flesh, the Son of Almighty God, then they had a problem with that. Now, three thoughts I'll give you today on this briefly. And again, if you go to our website and sermons that we've preached in the church, we have dealt with this many, many times over the number of years. Now, let me read this passage again, two verses or three verses, before I give you some other verses. And he said, verse 42, saying, what think ye of Christ? Now, this is a good question that Jesus Christ proposed to the Pharisees. This is a good question that I propose to you today. What think ye of Christ? It's going to determine whether you go to heaven or hell. It's going to determine whether you are saved or lost. And he says, whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. That's true as far as the flesh is concerned. Then, verse 43, he said unto them, how then doeth David in spirit call him Lord, saying? Now again, a quotation from Psalms 110, verse 1. I'll give that again so you can go and check it. That's Psalms 110, verse 1. And he says this, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Verse 45, if David then call him Lord, how is he his son? Well, we believe that he is the son of David, and he is the Lord of David because of what we find in the New Testament. As far as the flesh is concerned, the body of flesh, he was the son of David. But as far as the spirit is concerned, as far as his divinity, his deity is concerned, he was the son of Almighty God. He was God manifest in the flesh. Now, folks will say the Trinity. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. That is true. There's a lot of things that we talk about and terminologies that may not be in the Bible, but the doctrine is there. People talk about the rapture. That word is not in Scripture. But the very fact that Christ is coming for His church one day is in the Scripture hundreds of times. And so even though the word Godhead is in the Bible, the Trinity may not be, but the word Godhead is in the Bible three times in the New Testament. It's in Colossians chapter 2. It's in the book of Acts in chapter 17. And it's mentioned again the third time here in the New Testament. And the word Godhead is showing that all the fullness of the Godhead bodily was in the Lord Jesus Christ in Colossians chapter 2, I believe it's verse 9. So we find here that Jesus Christ was David's son and he was David's Lord. Now, I want you to think for just a few thoughts with me today. Number one, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now that is clear. That is very clear. We see this in Luke chapter 1 verse 35. We find that in that passage, speaking to Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the high shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Again, we see this in some of the other verses I read just a moment ago. But we also find that in John 3:16 and 17, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God the Son. He is the Son of God. When we put the New Testament passages together, we clearly see this. But he is not only the Son of God, but he is the ultimate substitute and sacrifice for our sins. When we go all the way back to the book of Genesis, and we read in Genesis chapter 3 through the fall, the first prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And then throughout the entire scripture, we find the need for a substitute. We find that God had clothed Adam and Eve after they sinned with animal skins. Blood was shed. And throughout all of the Old Testament scriptures, we see this. We find that as we come into the New Testament, in John 1:29, John the Baptist said, "Behold," talking about Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Messiah. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God cometh to take away the sin of the world." He became the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. We see this a number of times in the New Testament. In the Gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, speaking of the Gospel by which we're saved in verse 1 and 2, verse 3 and 4 says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He became our substitute. God says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." He took our sins upon Him as He hung on the cross, that we might take His righteousness upon us by faith and repentance in what He has accomplished at Calvary. So He is not only the Son of God, He is our substitute, and He is also our Savior. He is the Savior of the world. We find this in many, many places. There's no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved. Jesus Christ is the Savior. This is why that in Matthew chapter 1, when we see the name of Jesus Christ, this basically means a Savior, God our Savior. And this is Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and verse 21, that Jesus, He's named Jesus, that He would come to save His people from their sins. And this is why that we're told many places about how to be saved, and especially in Romans 10, verses 9 through about verse 17. For in these passages, we find beginning in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Jesus Christ is our Savior. He's the Son of God. He's our substitute, and He's our Savior. He is the Savior of the world. This is what we find as we come into the New Testament. The Bible said in Acts 20, verse 21, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. If we will confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, God has promised in Romans 10:9 that He would save us. He said, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And then He says in verse 11, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." In other words, they shall not be confused or disappointed. And then in verse 13, He says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now that's a promise from God, not from this preacher or any other preacher, but that's a promise from God. I mean, He says in verse 10 that if we'll confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, He said that we shall be saved. And in verse 13, He said, "And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is, we call upon Him. Let me tell you this. The first time that I had ever prayed in my life, and that's what calling upon the Lord means. It's praying. The first time I'd ever prayed in my life was at 19 years of age, May the 15th, 1972, when I got up on my knees and called out unto God to save me. It's the first time I'd prayed, and that first time that I called out unto the Lord, God saved me. That's been over 40 years ago. And God will do the same for you or anyone. Keep in mind, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved or men must be saved. Acts 4:12. Clearly, there is only one mediator, and that's 1 Timothy chapter 2. There is no other way to enter into God's heaven and into God's kingdom. So I'm going to leave with you today is that we find the biblical Jesus. And the biblical Jesus is the Son of God. He's God the Son. He's God manifest in the flesh. And He is also a substitute for the sins of the entire world. And He is the Savior of the world. He's the Deliverer, the Redeemer. And you can be saved today. You can be saved by repentance and faith. You can be saved by being obedient to the Scripture, obeying the gospel, as it says in Romans and the book of Acts and other places. And that is, Christ died for our sins at Calvary's cross. He gave His life, shed His blood, and He was raised again the third day according to the Scripture, and He ascended back into heaven. The gospel, Romans 1:16, is the power of God unto salvation, and God is in the saving business, and God will save you today if you will repent of your sins, put your faith in Jesus Christ, believing that He shed His blood for your sins at Calvary. Well, I want you to think about this today. There's nothing any greater. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is in Romans 6 and verse 23. Trust in Him, put your faith in Him, God will save you today. Well, our time is just about come and gone again. We want to thank you for listening to the program. If you've enjoyed it, we'd love to hear from you. Our church would love to hear from you. If you have been saved through the program, we would love to hear about that as well. It would be a blessing to us. Again, remember the resources. You can find us at biblicaltruth.info. That is biblicaltruth.info. And you can also find us at sermonaudio.com. Well, again, it's always our privilege to be able to speak to you by radio. And again, if you're not saved, please today trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has promised that He would save you through the blood that He shed at Calvary. God is in the saving business. Well, until next time, may God richly bless you.
You have been listening to Victory Bible Time with Brother Robert Reed, pastor of Victory Baptist Church. The address, Victory Baptist Church, P.O. Box 257, Codin, Alabama, 36523. Location in Codin, Alabama, on Bellengrath Road, about 3 miles south of Bellengrath Gardens. Times of services, Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6, and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Again, thank you for listening to Victory Bible Time, Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. on WOSM FM 103.1. Until next time, may the Lord's blessings be upon you.